online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Lucha! 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 Lucha!
I'm still going.
Oh, now we're all sweaty. We're in a tiny studio. We're in Studio B.
Getting cozy today.
Did you put on deodorant
studio.
Today?
What's that?
You didn't put
I sure did. I'm on 2 hours sleep coming in from Denver, but I did shower. You're welcome.
There we go.
Thanks.
I have on Cologne.
There we go.
And I have on deodorant.
Axe body spray?
Well, it might be Axe body spray, but you know, when you're on a budget.
You'll never know.
Yeah. I'm not going to spray in front of you now.
My nostrils will.
Welcome, everybody, to the Monday Night Raw After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV. We're coming to you from Studio B. That don't mean the show ain't big, because we got the family back together once again. Yeah, that's right. Let's intro everyone. Here we are. At Jay Quasto on the Twitter. That lovely lady right next to me, she's the crown jewel of the Raw After Show. You can find her on Twitter at Catherine Kelly. And now, also on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, she's Kathy Kelly.
Hi.
That makes all four. This girl knows how to win over a locker room. She brought cookies yesterday.
You did?
Like special, like diet-sensitive cookies made out of bananas.
Bananas instead of butter and applesauce instead of eggs and oil. So
you made cookies?
They're healthier. They're half the calories. Yeah.
Top.
They were super good.
I missed them.
Nigel ate like 10, and Hobo ate one and was like, these are too chewy. And
they I had to put in some work on this cookie.
I like how
they're free cookies.
Of all people, the hobo.
You were criticizing them.
Of all people, the hobo, the boxcar superstar, complains about healthy cookies.
I was giving you honest feedback. Yeah. You just took it too personally.
Ooh. Wow. Battle lines.
Never bringing you baked goods again.
I was here to help you.
Wait. I don't.
Yeah.
All right. On the other side of the studio, that man right there with high volume in his dome piece today. You can find him on Twitter at True Hobo. Also, every single week on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, former Heritage Champion. He's the Hobo.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Well,
I did commentary yesterday. It's a lot of fun.
I was going to say, who was there in my place? Was it you?
It was Caesar Black.
Oh, he's good.
Caesar Black, Todd Kinley, and then me and Jenna Yuma came.
See, it takes three guys to replace Quasto. That's what happens.
That's what it is.
I miss a taping. It takes three dudes to replace my skills.
You're a big deal yourself.
Yeah, right. All right, that guy right there, you can find him on Twitter at Ty Matthews PMA. He's all about that positive mental attitude, talking to the hand. Also find him every single week on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. He's Ty Matthews.
You sure can.
What's happening, brother?
Not a whole lot. Just fantastic to be here. It's very cozy in studio.
It's very cozy. You're also freelance writing like a mug.
I am writing for Alternative Press Magazine, writing for Outburn Magazine.
Oh, yeah.
That was my jam back in the day.
Pieces for Hustler. Yeah, we talked about that. AP?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When I was trying to be a rock star.
Yeah.
Really? You weren't trying to be a singer?
No, I was the bassist in an all-girl band.
When?
In high school.
You played bass?
Yeah.
Why did we never know this?
Kathy and I are going to start a band.
You slapped the bass?
Yeah.
In high school? What the hell?
Why did you ever stop?
Yeah.
Because I was scared-less and
okay.
We played 3 shows. And then I was done. I retired on time.
That's the same thing with me. My band only played 3 shows and then we were done.
Was it like that?
I started interviewing bands instead of being
exactly,
in one.
Exactly.
Was it like that episode of Full House where they just kept playing that song by Ace of Base over and over again?
We played a lot of Full House.
I saw the sign.
It was like a lot of episodes of Full House.
Yeah, that's true.
Like the one where they went to Disney World. It was like kind of like that.
Always
they see the Indiana Jones show.
Or when Papuli died and everyone was sad. All right, let's move on. Monday Night Raw emanated from Washington, D.C., the home of our man Dale Rutledge. I don't think he was there tonight.
Why?
I don't know.
He never misses anything WWE-related.
Maybe he was.
I don't know if I believe that.
I didn't know it was in D.C. until we started watching, so I guess I should have asked him. I don't know.
Ooh.
But anyways, Washington, D.C. Now, compared to last week, a lot of talk about last week's Raw. It was odd, to say the least. But this...
This week's was what, odd?
This week's was awesome.
This was, like, odd in the best way.
That's what I'm saying.
What a surprise! I'm enjoying this entire show!
It was a wrestling show. Hobo, take it away.
It was almost everything happened exclusively in the ring. Was maybe one or two things happened in the back. That was about it. There was actual matches that went for length of time. Mm-hmm. They really kind of stepped off of the whole Rollins thing. And they, granted, he had a very important part, but that was just sort of the beginning, the setup for the show. But that was all we saw until basically the end. It was a nice departure from what we have seen the last several weeks.
Yeah.
And top to bottom, all of the matches were super solid, even the ones I really wasn't expecting a whole lot out of. Even the things that I've consistently been criticizing really had some strong performances.
Finally a decent women's match.
Whoa. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
We got a decent women's match. We finally got some Wyatt backstage promo with purpose.
Yeah.
I mean, we got a lot of solid stuff today. I thought last week's episode was already more solid than most, and I think this week continues that trend.
Definitely.
It really did. I mean, hell, Sheamus.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Neville. I mean, we'll get to it, but damn, that was physical.
Right.
Oh, good God.
And we will get to it, but it's people like Neville are who people like Sheamus need to be matched up with consistently. Yeah.
Neville can just wail away on him. Sheamus is like, all right.
Exactly.
But he gives it, he wants it, you know?
Yeah, definitely does. Starting off, well, not surprisingly, the Authority hits the ring, which they've tend to do for the last, I don't know how many weeks. Rollins, Kane, Joey Mercury, and Jamie Noble. How about kudos to Jamie Noble? Trace broken ribs.
Seriously.
Because he's Jamie by God Noble.
And getting hugged and, like, still keeping composure.
You're never too hurt for love.
No.
No, sometimes you are.
That's what I always say. No.
Or to play the bass.
I don't know.
You are if you hurt your fingers.
I think Kathy's right. I've never been too hurt for some loving.
Flea used to play holes in his thumb and fill him with super glue when he was slapping the bass.
Yeah, I've heard. Awesome. He slapped it hard. Him and the guy from Primus. Probably two of the greatest bass players of all time.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I forget his name.
Les Claypool.
Thank you, Les Claypool.
I almost said Layne Staley. Definitely not the
no,
same person.
No, that's the guy that did a lot of heroin in Alice in Chains.
Exactly. Les Claypool.
With all due respect.
Right.
Anyway, so Seth Rollins says, you gain true power when you take it. And last week, I gained true power. I took a trip to Suplex City and I burned it to the ground. I'll tell you what, Seth Rollins is getting stronger and stronger. I know people are complaining about these long segments to start. This had me. I thought it was hilarious from start to finish.
Definitely. I think it was as entertaining as it needed to be, and I think we saw new facets of these personalities.
Yeah.
I mean, when he gifts Kane with a trip to Hawaii, which we'll get to in, 30 seconds maybe.
Right now. We're getting to it now.
When he gifted that, like, that was a side of Kane that I don't think we've seen at least in a long time. When he says when he's thinking about what animal he wants to throw into a volcano.
I thought that was going to be a swerve, like he's trying to get rid of Kane for an extended period of time.
And it could be. That could be the case.
Yeah.
We never know.
It ended up working out. I'm glad nobody came out really to interrupt this or for any sort of, now I'm here sort of moment, as so many of these do every single week. This had, like, a really nice trajectory, and it totally played out. Okay, now we know what's up.
I was waiting for someone to take the Hawaii sign and just, like, smash it over someone's head, as per usual.
Right, exactly.
And, Kane's response to the Hawaii trip, and then he gives Noble and Joey Mercury a brand new... Wait.
Chrysler.
Not just that. Check out your wrist, Kathy. Brand new Apple Watches!
You get an Apple Watch.
You get an Apple Watch. And then they got a Cadillac.
It felt like an episode of Price is Right.
The music.
Oh, that's blue.
We needed Colin Cassidy singing it.
You know you watch too much wrestling when you hear that song and you don't think of Price is Right anymore.
You think Blue Pants.
You think of a girl that doesn't even have a real name at NXT.
Yeah.
Shout out to Blue Pants.
Just sign her already.
What's her Twitter?
Leva Bates, guys.
Oh, I was hoping her Twitter.
That's my knowledge.
There we go.
Oh, I love it.
That was Hobo's reaction to Kathy's cookies yesterday. Hey-o!
Whoa! What was in those cookies?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my.
So we had a special gift for Kane and J&J Security. And what gifts they were, to say the least. And
whose that's money did he use?
I think his own. He's the champ.
Gets that champ bonus.
You know the money you made when you were champ?
I mean, yeah. I blew it pretty quick on stuff.
Well, I mean, no
he's
one...
He's going to be in my shoes really damn quick.
No one ever accused you of being a good investor.
No.
Or maybe
no.
It's gifted stuff. Because when you're famous, you get stuff for free.
That's a good point. Like, I was at the top of an internationally marketed, branded company. Like, hi, I would like a new Cadillac, please.
Yeah. We're just giving him Apple Watches left and right?
Yeah.
He's like, here, I thought of you guys when I got these.
Apple Watches.
Seriously. Have you seen those Segways with no arms? Like, Justin Bieber gets those for free.
I have not.
I wish I was that famous.
You just sort of stand on
I
it
just want a Segway with no
it.
Arms.
Like, there's a lot of basketball
not
players
trust myself
that
riding
those.
Something like that.
I would not awesome. Trust myself on that.
Well, so I mean, we've been over this. None of us can ride bicycles. I don't
would
think
probably
we can work
fall
on.
Flat on my face, but it would be yeah. worth it. I would die happy.
Well, I would die happy if I saw that.
Da 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 da. All right.
We really love each other.
So,
here.
Big Show comes out, not dressed like Soccer Dad today.
That broke my heart not to see Little League Dad show this week. But I guess he has to wrestle sometimes.
Little League Daddy show.
Come on, Mark.
He comes out with a smile on his face. He takes on Mark Henry, and this was over really quick. Probably one of the quicker Mark Henry matches we've seen.
So, Mark Henry's a jobber now?
I ain't going to call him
that. He's been there before.
I ain't going to call him that.
He's petering out. He's getting to that retirement age, I think. And this is.
He's retired like six times. He's like Cher.
He only retired that once, and it was a fake retirement in that dope salmon blazer.
So good.
If I was going to compare Mark Henry to anybody, it certainly wouldn't be Cher. Yeah. Although, I think she's taller than he is.
Yeah. Might be.
Might be. Skosh.
But he has a way better voice.
It was over quickly. We had The Miz on commentary, tapping into his old main event commentary roots.
Mm-hmm.
But with it being over so quickly, it segued nicely into Miz and Ryback.
It did. Miz attacks Ryback. He attacks Show, kind of, sort of, and then he runs out of the ring like a scalded dog.
Mm-hmm.
So quick with that kick. Just run in, kick, run out.
Just straight up boot to the face and then just hit and run.
Absolutely.
I think that's foreshadowing of him. I think he's going to take the strap at Battleground.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really let the two big guys kind of muscle over it, and he's just going to slide right in and right out.
Exactly. He's the yappy little dog that nobody's going to suspect.
It's weird having Miz in this character and then having him be the, not the Chris Jericho role, but somewhat hosting Tough Enough and being normal.
Right.
Well, the after show, right? He's hosting.
It's like online segments and the after show that's exclusively on the network, I think.
Mm. Yes. Right. Yeah. Well, that leads right into Ryback versus The Miz, which contained possibly the longest suplex in history.
That's very long.
It was pretty close.
But you'd have to watch some Brian Cage matches to see some potentially longer suplexes.
That's a good point. Cage, yeah. But that was still pretty damn long.
It was a long time, yeah.
And then he's in control for most of it. Rams Miz into the barricade, but then, of course, Miz runs away again.
It was a lot more physical than I was expecting, especially with the barricade spots.
Mm-hmm. And Joseph Boza in chat roll, good point. This whole thing was to make Miz look like chicken shit. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's the number one classic move that you can do with a heel.
That's Seth Rollins has been
doing. It works like a charm. It has for decades.
It was. And so, we're triple threat, I guess, for the Battleground.
For the IC title.
All right.
Yep.
You really think that Ryback's going to lose it already? I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
We'll figure it out.
It's certainly not like, I mean, look at the New Day's tag title reign. I know that breaks your heart, but...
That was too soon.
Right?
Too soon.
I love PTP.
I love the New Day. And they have t-shirts now.
Well, trust me, when the t-shirt, I've been clamoring for it, mm-hmm. and the t-shirt came out, everyone's tweeting at me, then they won the titles, everyone's tweeting.
And they have socks.
I mean, the New Day have shirts now.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I gotta get that, too.
Mm-hmm.
And the socks.
Unless our fans want to send us some merchandise.
I gotta get some money.
Because they're so nice to us.
Send those shirts.
We love you.
So the next match, we have the Divas match we were talking about, we mentioned earlier. This was Paige versus Alicia Bella. And it was fantastic because neither Bella kind of didn't get involved, at least until the very end.
Right.
Paige with the O'Connor roll-up for the win after a Bella's distraction backfires. But feel free to take it away, whoever, all three of you, because this was a really good match.
This is just what I want to see from the women every single week. Mm-hmm. Like, it's still advancing their storyline. I'm still not 100% sure why Alicia Fox is with the Bellas, but this was a great match. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't, like, everyone who says that they book the Divas weaker to make the guys look better, this is an example of having a good match, and it doesn't overshadow any other matches.
Yeah,
it stands alone as a great match, and...
Right. And those things aren't and shouldn't be mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen, Lucha Underground does it phenomenally, books both men and women looking strong as
NXT
hell.
NXT does it phenomenally, mm-hmm. which is the WWE brand. Look,
NXT
so it's
women
possible.
Headline. They main event.
Exactly, yes. Exactly. But I do think that, I think a lot of people see it going this way, but the fact that they keep harping on the fact that Paige can't find anyone to be on her side, I think we're going to see...
That was really harsh. She has no friends.
But I mean, like, no look at what she's done, yeah. theoretically, in storyline. Of course she doesn't.
It's weird because I feel like this is exactly what happened a year ago. She had no friends, and then AJ came back, and she was
right.
the savior.
Right. And so, obviously, now we don't have, you know, the alpha female to come back, so...
Is it going to be a debut from NXT, or is she just going to have to prove herself on her own?
I think we're going to see Charlotte and either Sasha or Becky.
What?
One of the two.
At Battleground?
Possibly.
They have to do something.
Do you see Natty coming back by herself, since we know that Tyson Kidd's going to be out for a really long time?
I mean, I suppose that's a possibility, but I don't think that's entertaining. I don't think that's interesting. I love Natty, and I love Natty's matches. I don't think that's an interesting route to take this.
I just want to see some good wrestling.
Mm. And so I think what's going to end up happening is we're going to get a six-woman tag with Alicia Fox and the Bellas versus Paige, Charlotte, and either Sasha or Becky.
See, I think really in order to build the Bellas as the, you know, they keep talking about how they're this, you know, tyrannical reign in the women's division. I think they just should keep bringing out women for Paige to fight. Every week is a different woman. And that way Nikki gets to keep the belt, which they're dead set on doing, and I understand that.
Yes.
But that way we'll get different matches, and there'll be good matches, and really test Paige and put her in a position where she looks like an absolute blue chipper.
Mm-hmm.
Was anybody surprised to see her back this week? Paige?
Yeah.
Right. Last week, we were just saying, oh, well, we're not going to see her a while.
I think they realized they had to, because they're spinning in circles. It's like a one-legged person in a butt-kicking, boom-kicking contest? What
yeah,
am I saying?
Kicking.
You know what
you
I mean.
Got
I mean, it was
sure
a welcome surprise.
Yeah.
I'm glad that she's there. And she's one of those girls that, like, if you know her background, like, even without knowing her background, you see that there's emotion behind every match.
Absolutely.
Whether it was when she debuted and won the title, or whether it was tonight and her just seeming so invested in what was going on.
Right. We just need one of those NXT-style video packages on Paige.
I mean, they could cut down the family documentary that she has, and that would be excellent.
Yeah, right? Because, I mean, yeah, have you seen the videos they've been doing with Finn Balor, with Becky Lynch?
Have I seen them?
Oh, they're incredible. Incredible. Becky's crying, because without him, she wouldn't have... Oh, just amazing.
Right.
Adorable.
We need more of that.
So good. But yeah, this is a great match. I don't know...
good stuff, and I am... on board with Alicia Fox for days. The Tilt-A-Whirl Backbreaker, her bridge. I don't know if she busted out the bridge in this match, but bridges for days.
I don't know. She's so damn good, and she just seems to keep getting better. Every mm-hmm. time she mm-hmm. comes out of that ring, she surprises in one aspect or another. She's just so good.
I have to say, I didn't believe in her until Crazy Alicia Fox. And
I miss that.
Since then, I mean, like, she doesn't even have to do that to look good now, but I love that.
And it was something interesting and something new for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all the stuff that she did with Todd Phillips on, like, WWE.com and on the app, like, that is some gold right there.
She's still really good.
Yeah, very good.
And she's still young.
You absolutely.
Know? How old is she?
Late 20s tops. Oh. They signed her super young.
Mm.
And I agree. I think that something has to be done. Someone has to come up, whether it's a six a diva tag or whatever you want to call it. There needs to be new blood into the main roster, and then that allows spots in NXT
to open
up. I want
Charlotte
to
come up next. She has to.
Mm. It just makes the most sense. She doesn't have, well, she has something going on in NXT. It's not extensive. That can wrap up any time.
Right. I think I'd rather see Sasha, but it makes the most sense bringing Charlotte up next.
Imagine Charlotte coming up, surprise entrance or whatever, and just knocks out Nikki Bella.
Definitely.
I mean, if you're doing a seniority thing, I think that... Bailey would have to be the next to come up, but
right.
Bailey's currently on the injured list.
Mm.
Broken hand.
Damn it.
Right.
How bad? Not surgery, I hope.
No, not that bad. She's got a little cast on it.
6 to 8 weeks. That's not bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, good.
Not terrible.
Thank God for that. Yeah, I agree. Something has to be done. Let's hope it is done before Battleground. That way, you just everyone will get excited.
Right.
Everyone will care. If the right person, just one person, can make a huge difference, and then it'll make everyone else work their ass off.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But it's crazy how many women they have down there, and they're just not utilizing right now.
Right, right. But I feel like that's always been the case. I feel like it's always been a case of, like, we have this giant bullpen full of these talented females, and we're not doing anything with any of them but maybe two or three.
They're just making them girlfriends of everyone.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Because what's a woman without a man?
Mm-hmm. Let's just move on. All right, John Cena. The U.S.
Open Invitational.
The U.S. Open Invitational. Before he could even invite an opponent down to the ring, Kevin Owens comes down and said, you know what? I'll take your title at Battleground, but tonight someone else might take it from you, Cesaro. Unfortunately, you know, Tyson Kidd, you showed me a picture of his neck.
Ow.
Oh.
One of the ugliest photos I've seen in a long time.
Godspeed, Tyson Kidd. Speedy recovery. I don't know. I have to look up.
I did hear the surgery was successful, so at least there's that.
Well, it's interesting. A lot of times now with neck fusions, they actually go in through the front, but for some reason, maybe it was bad enough to where they had to go in through the back. I don't know.
And that was a big-ass incision.
Right.
That's what I'm scared about. That tells me it was multiple levels.
And I do know he got the full-on, like, he didn't go the quick-fix route. He got the actual full-on surgery, which means
he's got 12 to 16 months.
He's got to live the rest of his life. I mean, the only benefit to that is the rest of his body will heal.
Right.
And he still is young. And
exactly. And he's made it for so long. I mean, he has been around for a long time. I mean, obviously, you know, in general, but I mean in WWE, like
he's a
it
lifer,
feels like
yeah.
forever ago when him and D.H. Smith debuted.
But how many times has he gotten injured and like had to be out for months and
months? I think this is one of the few times that isn't reflecting on him. I don't think anyone's looking at him as being injury prone.
Right. And also, let's not forget how great he is. He's got a job for life. Because you couldn't ask for a better person to be training you if you're, say, NXT.
I mean, before he really went through his resurgence in NXT, I thought he was gone for good.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like he has 9 lives when it comes to his career.
With a fusion...
Because he likes cats.
Yeah, that's cats how he does. With the way that scar...
on acid.
With the way that scar looks, that's a year minimum, probably closer to a year and a half. I don't know how many levels it was. I'll have to look into it, but we wish you best of luck, Tyson.
But it's like I've said before, if there's any silver lining to be seen in this storm cloud, it's Cesaro potentially getting a singles push.
Yeah.
Seriously.
After tonight, can we just talk for the next half hour about this match?
Dude, not like... Once I realized that it was going to be Cena and Cesaro, it's the two pound-for-pound strongest men on the roster. I mean, like, you're not going to get anything that's not phenomenal out of that. Like we saw on the ridiculous height on that pop-up uppercut.
Cena's
the very European uppercut.
Wow.
The man that gravity forgot.
No, I think so.
The new Cena-sation.
Don't encourage her. Don't encourage her.
You're going to not... Totally drowned the high five.
That was a dad joke.
Anyways, it was. How about the Cena with the springboard stunner? Almost
lost it.
He got him fingers.
The springboard stunner, I feel like it fumbles more than it hits. I think he needs to find something else. And I think the same with the Yoshitonic. I think there's a very short list of guys that can base for that. And while obviously Cesaro is at the top of that list.
Yeah.
You know.
Or if he's gonna go, just do it. It seems like now he's trying to do the whole.
He's trying to do the old school like
the suplex from outside the apron to get a guy of Cena's size.
That's the thing. People don't realize how ridiculously strong Cesaro is. Mm-hmm. Like he already looks like a friggin' like he was carved out of granite.
Unbelievable,
right?
Everything about this match. And we mentioned months ago they had a great match. This topped that one.
Definitely.
Obvious match of the year candidate written all over it.
Seriously.
And the monkey, I mean, even little things like the monkey flip at the beginning is just like, they've got surprisingly good chemistry together.
There are certain
guys
that I think
together.
Bring something else out of Cena, and Cesaro is definitely one of those
Absolutely.
Guys. I think
and
it started
been,
with Kevin Owens,
right,
but...
Well, it's funny, we talk about Kevin Owens and Cena a few weeks ago, match of the year candidate. Mm-hmm. Now Cesaro. I mean, God.
Right.
Kevin Owens on commentary is hilarious.
He's
him calling out
so good.
He's like, oh yeah, Cena must have been watching some of my old matches, and that's how he's getting all of these moves. And then every single time he says, no disrespect, but, and then then the most disrespectful statement ever.
Absolutely.
It's gold.
Between tonight and then when he was on commentary for Samoa Joe last week was so good.
It almost seemed real when he stood up and took a swing at Michael Cole, because everybody was expecting him to hop into the ring after that. But he just stands up, takes a swing at Michael Cole, and sits back down. What the hell was that?
I don't remember Cole saying anything to incite that.
No.
But just for the hell of it.
It was the guy it was that is. Michael Cole was calling the match and disrespecting Kevin Owens because he's out there and he's not paying any attention to him.
And if he's not careful, he's going to end up like Alex Riley.
Yeah.
You know? That's imagine true. Him powerbombing Michael Cole.
Alex Riley threw out some nasty tweets about Tough Enough.
Did he?
Saying, yeah, like, his tweet, some to the extent of like, WWE spend $2 million on trying to find people who can't wrestle when the people who are really tough enough are right here. You know, that kind of thing.
I mean, I'd be lying if I said it wasn't a great point.
Yeah, no. And that's the thing. I think at this point, Riley is who he is.
And I mean, him a lot of respect. Think about how much time and how much money spent into hiring Andy Levine.
Oh, God.
Remember him?
Yeah, no, I do.
Right.
What was it? Silent Rage?
Silent Rage.
Soylent Green?
Silent Rage is people!
But that's going to happen every single time they bring in people who don't actually, like, their dream isn't to wrestle. Their dream is to be a bodybuilder or a swimsuit competitor or something like that. That is their dream. That's what they're going to work towards. And this is just an avenue for them to get there. It's not their ultimate destination.
Right.
Yeah.
The people whose dream it is to really be superstars are the ones toiling away on the indies and going to the actual tryout.
That's which is who they've been, you know, giving contracts to recently, which is incredible.
I don't even care about dreams. Dreams are overrated. This is a business. I get that. So why don't you hire competent professionals who seek out the business aspect of this business and make it their business? Right. People who are smart about this business. Yeah. Put time in to make something in this business. Not hire people who are trying to use this to get somewhere else.
But that's
who have nothing to offer other than good looks.
For the most part, Tough Enough hasn't been taken seriously, and they're trying to change it this season by having someone who comes out and they are they do have potential to, you know.
Everybody has potential. It's just finding
it's the passion
people
behind
who believe in what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. At the same time, Riley's tweet brought up a great point, and I give him credit for speaking his mind and not being afraid to do so.
Right.
So there you go.
I mean, what does he have to lose at this point?
He doesn't, really.
Right. He's laid up. He's got a bad leg right now. He's just sitting at home watching TV going, click, 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 click.
Yeah. Right.
He needs to do more iPhone promos from his home. That was good.
Seriously.
That was a good one.
Dude knows how to cut a promo. And he's always been really cool on Wrestling Compadres. He calls in all the time, and he's great to have on the show. He's money every time. So Cesaro locks in the sharpshooter. Owens attacks. DQ. So that might take it away from being match of the year, just because we didn't have a finish, really. Mm. But nonetheless, wow.
And then pop-up powerbombs for everyone.
Oh, yeah.
You get a pop-up powerbomb, and you get a pop-up powerbomb.
Surprised Michael Cole didn't get one at that point.
Right. And then the other shoe flies off. Michael Cole's other shoe.
R.I.P. Michael Cole's shoe. Next, we have Bray Wyatt. He was on fire tonight. He had a message for Roman Reigns, and like we mentioned earlier, this had a point.
And that's the thing. The talent of Bray Wyatt has never been in question. It's just the motivation. It's that dreaded word that we keep saying over and over and over. What are you dying to say right now?
Because did anyone else catch when he's like, I wasn't my dad's favorite son?
I didn't catch that. I knew you. I knew
you caught
that. Is it
Bo that he was talking about?
I hope so. I hope he means that IRS just didn't pay enough attention to him as a kid.
pay your taxes.
You deadbeat.
Pay attention to him?
Should I get Bray's message across to everyone right now?
You're so funny. You don't even know it.
Continue.
Should I get Bray's message across right now that he had for Roman Reigns?
Do you mean, are you gonna? Yep, here it is.
I want you to open your eyes so you can see the truth. I was never my daddy's favorite, but now I'm awake and look, daddy, I got my wings back. You know all the horrible things I'm capable of, and you're mine now. Anyone but you, Roman. Anyone but you. Run. There it is. That's a summary of that.
This was the perfect amount of time for a promo, too. It didn't go too long.
Right. Yes, it was.
Right. It was the right amount of gaspy and the right amount of foggy and But it's we actually got some real motivation. He's saying he and Roman are two sides of the same coin. They're yin and yang. And he says, as long as I'm around, I'm not going to let you succeed. I would rather see anyone but you succeed. And that's enough for me. I'm on board with that.
He's basically yelling what everyone said after Royal Rumble.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
You don't deserve it. Yeah.
But it's the same problem keeps coming up with each of these big programs with Bray Wyatt. And it's that he's put across the ring from these other huge stars, but something has to give. Mm-hmm. One of them has to give. And if it's Bray Wyatt, where does he go from there? If he keeps losing these big programs.
That's yeah, man.
Because something's got to give. I think...
Unless this turns into somehow... Nah, this won't happen. Somehow Roman Reigns becoming brainwashed and joining the Bray Wyatt.
That would be interesting. That'd be an interesting way to take it, for sure.
Speaking of which, where the hell are Roman and...
Well, Rowan just got injured.
Yeah,
oh, he did. No. What? When?
His arm. He's going to be out for, 4 to 6 months?
Jesus. What did he do?
He was working a Cesaro on a house show. That's what it was.
Show surgery, right? Sounds like it.
I would imagine so, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Man.
So we've got him out. We've got Tyson out. We've got Jey Uso out. We've got, you know, who else is out?
So many.
Right.
Well, one of the Usos was on SmackDown doing commentary.
Right. I heard about that.
In full gear, I heard, which was kind of like, what
well, here's the thing. You got one of them out for, what, up to a year.
Mm-hmm.
You got to use the other one.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Why not let him wrestle singles?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? I mean, they're both fantastic, so why? You don't want him to sit on the shelf.
And I think, finally, after years of seeing this twin tag team, I think it would be really interesting and refreshing to see one of them have a go at a singles run.
Yeah.
We've only seen them as part of a unit, so let one of them strike out on his own. Let him get his own finisher or his own nickname or gimmick or promos or whatever.
Only good things can come out of it.
Except that could start a program when the other one comes
exactly.
back.
Exactly. It's built in.
Each other.
It's built in right there.
You forgot about me!
And even a guy like, which is the Uso that is injured, Jimmy or Jay? I'm not sure.
I think it's Jay.
Regardless, even a guy like that, that's someone who would have a great feud with Sheamus. Mm-hmm. You know, just a total mismatch. You know, just like him and Neville were tonight.
Definitely.
So I think a lot could be done there. But yeah, Bray Wyatt, we're not the last we're going to hear from him tonight or see of him. It's Lucha Dragon time. Lucha Dragon, an eight-man tag.
Eight-man tag
Lucha
team
Dragon.
Match,
a tag team match.
Holla.
That was such a fun match.
Super fun, absolutely. I think I was really worried that Kalisto's showing in the Elimination Chamber, which was admittedly less than stellar. I thought that was going to hurt his standing, and so far I don't think it has, so I'm glad to see that, because he's right back into it, busting out some amazing stuff tonight.
He's incredible.
Is this also when they showed that Rock was at a house show?
Yeah,
I think so.
Because Bo Dallas is in the match.
Right, and imagine being in the crowd of a random ass house show, seeing Bo Dallas singing the theme song to, what is it, The Greatest American Hero.
Oh, what was it?
Believe it or not, I'm walking on air. And then The Rock's music hits.
Unbelievable.
Like, imagine how many people thought that was just like a gimmick or something, and then the actual Rock comes out.
I give him a lot of credit. He doesn't have to do this stuff. For Christ's sake, he married Nick Mundy a couple weeks ago. He flew to L.A. to marry Nick Mundy just because he's amazing.
But that's because, like, it just shows that he's having fun, and he's passionate about that, and that's what they need in the people that are going to be in their company.
He got into an accident in L.A., and the picture of the guy he hit was like the happiest picture in the world.
Right, he accidentally sideswiped the truck.
If anybody's going to hit me, let it be The Rock.
The Rock did.
Really?
And so the guy comes out, and like The Rock is like...
Why is The Rock even driving? I'd have a driver all day.
Right? But he's like, oh, I'm sorry, man, I'm sorry. And all the guy could say is, are you The Rock?
I didn't even know that. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I want to get hit by...
He was clanging and banging.
He was clanging and banging.
Here's a great comment by Vegata3639. Here's an idea. Jimmy Uso wins the IC title. Jay comes back. Jealousy. Main event rivalry right there.
There you go. Absolutely.
What the hell?
And I think they would see... I think the singles matches between the two of them, especially if it were for something like the IC title, I think that'd be great to see.
No doubt. So, eight-man tag. Lucha Dragons. PTP versus The New Day and Bo Dallas. And
New Day is sporting some brand new t-shirts, too.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're brand new, but I think they're brand new.
I don't know. I want one.
I'm pretty sure they are.
And socks.
New day socks.
Mm-hmm. I'm down. Give me some knee highs.
I don't know if Kofi was doing it this week, but last week he was doing such a great clap when he was doing it like this.
Those three are so on fire.
So
like,
good.
Such, it's like you see those three are best friends,
right? Mm-hmm.
When they're together
and when they're embracing that natural chemistry. I've been watching a lot of Xavier Woods and or Austin Creed's new video game channel on YouTube, and it's really, really entertaining.
What's he doing? Just playing games?
He'll do Let's Play. He'll do what's called Superstar Save Point, where someone drops in and plays a game. He does all sorts of stuff. It's good stuff.
Damn.
He had a Mortal Kombat tournament with one of the Usos, Kofi, Heath Slater. It was good stuff.
I gotta check that out.
It was fun.
So anyways, Titus pretty much owned this match.
Titus just keeps getting better and better and more entertaining.
He's a big guy, but he's got this huge personality, and when he looks into the audience, they really connect with him. Like, the whole audience just erupted when he was just looking at them. I mean, like, kind of like The Rock is able to do. And
right,
for that moment, Titus just owns them, and he's in that ring, and he's so powerful and fast.
Speaking about having a good time, these are eight guys that know how to enjoy themselves.
Exactly. I mean, really. And it's like we were saying when we were watching it just a little bit ago. It's like, Titus has come so much farther than when he was on NXT.
He got knocked out fairly early, didn't he?
When he was on NXT?
Yeah.
When he cut that infamous Make It A Win promo, that made no sense, but he was so endearing.
And he was very positive when he got cut. He's like, you know what? This is a great experience. I'm not going anywhere. And then, you know, he's lived up to it.
Exactly. And now he's doing some of the best work right now. It's so entertaining.
Well, I love D. Young, though, too. He stepped up.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
He was working real heel tonight. He was pulling hair. He was raking the back, gouging stuff. He's like, wow, what is this? Really hot, Darren Young.
Got to do what you got to do.
Guess so.
You know what I mean? And then, Titus owns the match, hitting Kofi with a powerbomb for the win. So Lucha Dragons PTP coming out on top. Meanwhile, New Day can't seem to figure it out. And Bo Dallas, he's there.
He's a person.
He's a person.
In his diaper.
He took Darren Young gave Bo Dallas a solid, solid back suplex right onto the apron. I almost forgot about that part, but that was a hot spot.
Someone brought up a great point here. What happened to Percy Watson? I liked him.
Oh, man, I love Percy Watson.
Is he still in the
roster? Oh, yeah.
Is he on the roster or no?
No. Oh, no. No, not for a long time.
Really?
Not for a long, long time.
He was still in NXT. I think he was released maybe time before last.
Yeah, it's been a little while.
What was his deal? Is he just not...
Installed.
Just wasn't...
All right.
It wasn't really connecting, I don't think. Mm-hmm. I love Oh Yeah. I don't think a lot of other people
I thought he was
did.
Pretty good in the ring from what I remember.
Yeah.
Okay. Dolph Ziggler, speaking of being good in the ring, Lana, they hit the ring and they are smitten. They are NLIKE.
And they're going public with that LIKE.
Yeah.
Matching sport coats.
It's all very edgy.
Couples dress like.
Yeah.
Right.
Hairstyles.
I'd love to see like this segment held up against the live sex celebration.
Oh, with Edge and Lita.
Edge and Lita.
Jesus.
How times have changed.
Compared to them, they're kind of like JFK and Marilyn Monroe. You know, way toned down.
Right, exactly.
Very sexy. Yeah.
A live smooching session.
They should have rode a tandem bicycle down to the room. Yeah. It was, they talked about how they like each other and whatnot, and how, you know, Lana was taking advantage early on, but now they like each other and that stuff. So Rusev hits the ring, and that's when it gets interesting. I love Sad Rusev.
Sad Rusev is great.
He's won me over.
Right. I wish he wasn't injured, because, Sad Rusev is the best.
But I feel like this is adding another layer to his character.
It is.
He's like a Bulgarian country song.
Wow.
If only his dog died, that really hit it home.
He's got like a busted up pickup truck that he's driving.
And Kathy could play bass on that song.
Yeah.
Very
good. I was going to say.
You know how country songs are known for their bass.
People were saying that he only had one crutch when he came to the ring, but he actually had two because Summer Rae was there.
Hey-o.
I expected him to pick her up and use her as a cane. Right.
I got you.
I'll concede that one.
So I like how the rest of this played out. Summer Rae calls Lana a gold digger and says she's nothing more than a two-faced, conniving phony. And then Summer Rae a smackaroo to Lana's face. And that's when Lana attacks.
I don't know what smack was harder, Summer hitting Lana or Neville hitting Sheamus.
Wow. Yeah.
They're both up there.
Solid.
Finally, Lana gets to use some of her training. I mean, she was always set to be a manager.
I was just afraid of her charging at Summer in those heels. I thought someone was going to snap an ankle or something.
That's
her skirt kept coming up.
She attacked twice.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the thing is, I like you mentioned, I don't know if the plans were for her to ever wrestle, but it looks like something might be going down. Maybe
I mean, I know that she's had some training, but with that crop of girls that came up, I think the only people that have really gotten in the ring and been on TV were JoJo and Eva Marie thus far. I mean,
just the way it's set up, the two guys obviously can't meet physically in the ring because Rusev's not ready. He's nowhere near ready because of his foot. So the ladies sort of work as the surrogate for that sort of fight.
It's interesting that it's become a more female-driven storyline. And right. At first, we were all like cringing that Lana was paired with another guy. But she is a manager at the end of the day. Like, unless they're going to pair her with a female wrestler, like she has to be paired with another dude. Because she's a manager, she doesn't wrestle.
But it's not necessarily that she's with another dude. It's that the motivation is that I like this new guy.
It was automatical's a word. Automatical sexual motivation.
I'd like her to see.
I understand that, and I don't agree with it 100%. But at the same time, I also understand that that's the same type of storyline that originally drew me in as a fan.
Interesting.
With AJ Lee and John Cena.
But I think that's comparing something so different. I think AJ Lee's her storylines were of a much different element. I would like to see it, and maybe this
she was supposed to be a GM and she started fooling around with one of the guys on the roster, so she got fired. That's even worse than.
But then they parlayed that into her willfully manipulating all of these guys and using their feelings against them.
This was towards the end of it.
Mm-hmm. But I think it could be just the nostalgic in me, but I'd like to see Lana become like a new version. You remember Alexandra York from WCW, Marlena, Terry Runnels, whatever you want to call her.
Okay.
And she's running, you know, the York Foundation, Terry Taylor, all these guys.
Yeah, I mean, Lana could definitely lead a stable.
Yeah, just, her rocking a power suit, leading her own stable of guys that are just kicking ass.
She
seems
like she wears the pants and those relationships.
Exactly.
No, wears the skirt, that's for sure. What's up, girl? Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, it's you know, I love Dolph in the ring. I'm not crazy about him on the mic, so I'm interested to see where this takes Lana, and I'm interested to see where this takes Sad Rusev.
Well, I think right now because of Rusev's foot, they can't wrestle, so maybe we'll have a Lana versus Summer match with each guy in the corner.
It could be. Have you seen clips of Lana breakdancing before? It's pretty phenomenal.
She's a great dancer.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think it'd be great if we have some training montages to lead up to this, to actually build it.
Might like Rocky IV. She's in the snow.
She's Drago.
Yeah.
Or maybe she's become Rocky. Who knows?
Actually, she would be Rocky. Summer would be Drago because
I would like to think Rusev will be back for SummerSlam because he didn't have surgery on his foot.
Uh-huh.
Like I said, takes bones 6 to 8 weeks to heal. He got to rehab a little bit. He's already been out for, when did he get hurt? A month?
A month ago, probably.
Something like that.
Yeah, so we have another month and a half before SummerSlam, almost 2 months. There's a good chance he could be back for SummerSlam. The problem is he wrestles barefoot, so that's going to...
And I heard that may change. Yeah. I heard this could be the straw that breaks the camel's back in terms of his
Summer
footwear.
Summer is like, babe, here are some cute shoes that you need to wear.
Right.
Yeah. I would like to just see him in some little wrestling shoes.
He may have to.
He's a really good actor. They're not... many people on the roster who I feel like are able to get emotion across without any words.
Exactly. And I think the words that he does use are very carefully chosen.
Rusev's just, he's been great.
There's a lot going on there. People don't give him credit.
Mm-mm. Moving back, Dean Ambrose talking to the Terminators.
As you do.
For a couple of seconds, and then Roman Reigns shows up, gets them all riled up. And then Roman Reigns, what does he say? He always like, let's rage?
I don't know what it is with Roman Reigns in this segment, but like I said it when we were watching. It was like Bray Wyatt's like whispering rubbed off on him. Because it's like you could barely hear him. And then, I don't know, or let's rage! Yeah. And then Alex Riley's at home going, God,
I know,
it's
I
mine
know.
Too!
I know. That makes you wonder if that was a dig. Because Riley tweeted that stuff before Raw.
I doubt it. I think I that know. Was just Reigns throwing out a dude bro catchphrase.
I like Riley, but the rage thing, that never worked. That never worked for him.
Whatever.
Like, that's the thing. Like,
I can buy the rage thing as a gimmick. I don't know if I can buy it as Alex Riley's gimmick. I love A-Rai.
I get it.
Don't know if I buy the rage.
Totally get it. So, yeah, this was kind of fun. Ambrose and Reigns saying they're buddies. No one else likes them. They don't like anybody else.
They're Buzz and Woody, just like I said.
There you go.
I like it.
Yeah, that's a pretty good comparison. Yeah. Moving on, Neville versus Sheamus, like we mentioned earlier, super physical. Neville going toe-to-toe with him, couple of real stiff shots, goes up to the mezzanine for the red arrow, Sheamus knocks that top rope, ends up hitting the bro kick for the W.
Can we backtrack for a second? Someone wrote in chat roll and they're like, Dolph resigns, but they meant to write Dolph resigns. And I was like, wait, what?
Very big difference.
Yeah.
Couple of letters changed.
Right. That hyphen is the utmost importance.
He hasn't admitted to resigning yet, so.
Right. Right.
Who knows?
It's all scuttlebutt.
Regardless. Neville and Sheamus.
Conjecture.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
I think you're right, absolutely, when you said that Sheamus needs Neville. He needs a guy like Neville who sort of flies around him, kind of like King Kong in the aeroplane, trying to knock him down. It does work. I just wish Neville had a little bit more fire. He has opportunities in a match where Sheamus was kind of on the ropes, and he looked toward the hard gamut of the audience, and he just was kind of like, I'm going to go do my next thing. Just for that moment, for that one moment, I want you to scream like your life depended on it. Just let it out.
I don't know if I necessarily agree with that.
Really?
Because I think if what you're saying he applies, then all we're just going to get is a whole lot of come on, baby. And believe me, I know a lot about throwing out come on, baby.
Oh, that's
baby,
your favorite.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, that's just like pure white meat baby face.
Best day ever.
But it's like, I think that kind of that silent intensity and that focus, I think, is new and it's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I think his moves are really the first and foremost thing, and I think his emotion, his ability to emote, is really second to all of his in-ring ability, and I would like to see just a little bit more emotion. He's a little less robotic. Granted, I'm pretty sure he is a real robot,
exactly.
But
he's actually Terminator Genesis.
Yeah, I believe it, but I want to see a little bit something human, some passion, some
he's
fire.
From outer space. That would make sense.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I mean, you see it right in the Titantron. He comes in
because his moves are out of this world.
That's really him doing that. He doesn't come from the curtain, he comes from the sky.
I'm with you on that. I think it's going to take the right person to maybe bring it out of him, or maybe just more experience. Maybe being more comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, he's only been in the main roster for 2 months. Wait, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, 2 to 3 months.
I'm not saying I don't like him. I'm saying I just want to see a little bit more. Especially against a guy like Sheamus,
right,
who doesn't have a whole lot of emotion attached to him. Who is kind of a guy who's just like,
he's been yelling a lot.
And that's the thing. I think when he has opponents like this, and when he has matches like this, this is the Sheamus I like. Sheamus versus Randy Orton, I'm not really on board with that.
I still don't like it.
I know.
This was a good match, though.
It was good. It was good. I've been really pleasantly surprised the last couple of Sheamus matches I've watched.
Mm-hmm. It makes me forget that there's a briefcase there.
Right.
At all.
Right.
It doesn't.
No, you're right.
The briefcase never matters.
Seth Rollins had it.
Sort of, but it was never in the match.
It
was never in the match he was in.
It doesn't matter. It's the way that he brought it to the ring, and it's who he is, and the storylines that surround him.
Remember, Ambrose also put a lot of work into that case. He stole the case. He did stuff with it.
I also remember when it was in between Damian Sandow and Cody Rhodes,
right.
And that was great. Like, it's very memorable.
And I think the thing,
Dolph Ziggler when he had it.
Like, I think one of the things that we're getting at right now is that the Money in the Bank briefcase is inherently more interesting when it's owned by someone that's never been the champion before. When it's owned by someone that's never been the champion before.
Yeah.
We've seen, I think one of the reasons it's not very interesting right now is because we've seen Sheamus at the top. It's not that exciting anymore.
A little
anymore.
Premature we did, yeah.
When we saw Seth Rollins with the case, we had never seen him with the belt. We're excited by that possibility.
I want Cesaro to have the case.
That'd be phenomenal.
Well, don't rule out a match for the case with somebody at some point down the road. I mean,
with Cesaro next week.
Maybe.
Book.
Bottom line is, Sheamus is good in the ring. No one can deny how good he is in the ring.
He's good.
It's just the character. And I like him better as this heel character.
Right.
But it's still... You know, I don't hate him nearly as much. Like, I don't even hate the guy. I like the kid. I actually like it.
Right.
But I know she doesn't, and a lot of other people don't. So I don't know where this briefcase thing is going to go with him. Because it's like...
Nowhere.
I don't know. It could surprise us. We've been surprised before.
You're right. But it's usually exciting when someone has the briefcase. Like, you're waiting for someone to cash it in. With Sheamus, she's like, oh, yeah, he's got that briefcase.
Right.
Shit.
It's kind of an afterthought, yeah.
I don't know. King Barrett, Jack Swagger. This was over quick.
Yeah, and
good,
it's
good to see Jack.
It's once again, it's the curse of Barrett. It's, you know, he's one week he's against Zack Ryder, and one week he's against Jack Swagger, and it's like they're solid matches, but it's like who's really benefiting from it?
Yeah.
If he loses, he lost to Jack Swagger. If he wins, big whoop, he beat Jack Swagger. He's screwed either way.
I miss Bad News Barrett. And I feel like he's being booked right now like Damien Sandow was months ago.
Right, and that's not a good sign.
There's almost an echo in here. We're having basically the same conversation we just had about the case. Being King of the Ring doesn't matter. It doesn't really, you can't take it away from somebody. It doesn't change anything.
They had such a great, solid tournament for the King of the Ring, and then Wade Barrett wins the King of the Ring, and then he just starts...
It just seems like that's his gimmick.
He's just losing everything. That's exactly right.
A title.
They only wanted an excuse to give him a crown and a cape, and a scepter, and just have JBL say, Raw Ballhammer. But it's like, other than that, he's on this huge losing streak, and it's not doing anything for him or anyone else for that
matter. And Sandow's disappeared.
Right.
He needs serfs.
See, he does.
Somebody to actually work under him.
Exactly.
That make him look like an actual king, like a lord. Somebody of a higher status that makes him harder to get to. Everybody can just get a pawn if they wanted to.
The problem is you can't be bad news King Barrett. It's too much.
He could have King Barrett and Khaleesi.
Nope.
Well, it's fun, guys.
Are you saying bring back Great Khali? Oh.
You're the worst person.
Okay.
That would be still interesting-ish.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yes.
Moving on.
You
from
said
that.
You own it.
The best King gimmicks have been the ones that have kind of added new elements. Everyone remembers King Booker because it was this ridiculous, silly,
the accent and Charmel.
But he was still doing things, and he was still a credible superstar, and he was still winning matches.
But his
R-Truth
accent was so
would be
good.
A great king.
Yeah, wouldn't he? Anyways. Yeah. Main event, Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns taking on Seth Rollins and Kane and a Cadillac. A lot of stuff was going on. Kendo sticks, the lights go out, Bray Wyatt attacks. Eventually a pedigree for the win, and we assume Raw was over at that point. The beatdown went on for another 7 hours.
Right.
I mean, they...
Well, and Hobo and I were talking about it before, and it's like, it started out almost as if it were a tornado tag, where, you know, obviously it's no DQ, so of course it's going to be...
Why would there be rules?
Then we come back from commercial, and everyone's by the book, everyone's holding tag ropes. It's like, what the hell are you holding the tag rope for?
Forget the ref!
This is no DQ! Everyone should be in all at once, just murdering everyone.
But then they murdered Reigns
for about 45 minutes.
I mean, 9 pedigrees, a Sister Abigail, they threw him
through
a table.
Powerbomb through the table.
What the hell?
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted
to make a point, man.
They must be booking him strong. I mean,
and then Wyatt came back down the ramp, but I think it ended with the pedigree.
It ended with the Sister Abigail.
Oh, okay, pedigree, then a Sister Abigail.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, authority was out. Bray Wyatt comes in, gives him the kiss. Good night. Boom. Yeah. Sister Abigail.
I was getting ready for the show, and I look up, and I'm like, oh, it's still on?
Yeah.
Because they want to get people behind him. It's the easiest way to get people behind somebody is to murder him in front of everyone.
Of course.
But sometimes that backfires. Sometimes people really get into the beating. I'm not saying that necessarily happened tonight, but that is the risk that you run.
Well, it's Tommy Dreamer syndrome. You know,
exactly.
Eventually all of the beatings have to accumulate in somebody going, maybe he's okay.
Right. Throw some sparkly suspenders on him. It's going to be Tommy Dreamer.
Couple of comments in chat roll here. Heath Slater and Brad Maddox to be jesters for...
You
oh,
wrote
that would be phenomenal.
Yes. No, there's other ideas. I just combined them.
That would be phenomenal.
We definitely need
more Brad Maddox. We need more of his sweet boots that say jump and kick on them.
And he's re-signed, right? He's there.
He's been appearing on house shows lately.
And I saw him recently when Dusty passed. He was standing on the stage with everybody.
I agree with Slater as a jester.
You just need something to make a difference.
And you could play off of their history in the Nexus and the Core.
True. And Maddox, he should be on TV, man.
For sure he should.
He's funny.
Him as the GM, I thought, was really, really good TV.
I don't think they used him enough
right.
in that role, personally.
Right.
But yeah. So Roman Reigns gets decimated. Bray Wyatt. Boom.
And it was a solid Sister Abigail, too. A really good... Really good Sister Abigail to end the night on.
Sure was.
Why would they... I don't know. It seems like it's almost in conjunction, like Bray Wyatt's working with them, that they all team up against Reigns.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
We'll see.
Battleground's shaping up to be, decent. We'll see.
It'll be good.
A couple weeks to go. It's weird not having... Actually, we have a pay-per-view this Saturday.
Yeah, we do.
That's good.
Brock versus Kofi, baby!
So and the Kevin matches. Owens versus Finn
We've
Balor.
We've got Kevin Owens defending the NXT title against Finn Balor.
Yeah.
We've got Neville versus Chris Jericho.
Ooh.
We've got Brock Lesnar versus Kofi effing Kingston.
Yeah, where'd that come about?
Do you remember when New Day had Kofi eating broccoli?
Yeah.
I finally get it. It's to prepare for Brock.
Okay.
He's eating broccoli. That was
tough. That one I can get on board with.
Like a couple of weeks to get that joke. Finally got it.
Kathy's got to get props. Come on. Get
well,
props.
It wasn't his joke. It was Kofi's.
What?
What?
No. No, no. Hobo just made the joke. Eating broccoli.
He made the connection. He made the connection. They didn't say that.
That's my decoder.
Yeah. That's a straight up Hobo original.
Yeah. I love it. So what else we got?
What else? We've got Neville versus Jericho. We've got NXT title. We've got Brock and Kofi. What else?
Is it going to be a full 2-hour, 3-hour event?
You guys have the laptops. Why would they have this huge thing in Japan if it was going to be like, oh, an hour show? No, this is a big freaking deal. It's at Sumo Hall. They're going to have a full show.
And it's not going to be affiliated with any New Japan. Nothing.
It'll be on at 3 a.m.
I don't think so.
I know a lot of people who will watch that. Do not underestimate internet wrestling fans. They do not sleep.
I'm going to try my best.
All right. I'm looking it up.
While you're looking it up, Hobo, put yourself over.
I am the Hobo. We're doing rapping right now.
It's time to go.
Yes. All right. We've got Balor versus Owens for the NXT title. We've got Kofi versus Brock. Neville versus Jericho. Cena and Ziggler versus Barrett and Kane. Paige versus Naomi versus Nikki Bella. Cesaro versus Diego of Los Matadores.
What?
And the Lucha Dragons versus the New Day. That is your card for WWE Beast in the East this Saturday on the WWE Network.
And you are?
I am Ty Matthews. You can find me on Twitter, on Instagram, Ty Matthews PMA. Pick up Alternative Press Magazine, Outburn Magazine, all that sort of
stuff. Too many magazines.
Watch Championship Wrestling from Hollywood every Saturday night.
You know where to watch it.
Red Carpet Rumble's coming up. Come out to Port Hueneme.
July 12th. Kathy and Kelly. Kathy Kelly, go.
You can find me on Twitter at Kathryn Kelly and on Instagram at Kathy Kelly.
All right. At Jay Quasto on the Twitter, jlocomedy.com. And Brea Improv, July 29th. I'm headlining. Otherwise, I don't remember anything else. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening, guys. We love you. Enjoy that wrestling in Japan. We'll see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.